Dan Wiederer, Bears beat reporter and enterprise writer for the Chicago Tribune.
You're going to be relying on a lot of young players, guys that have to materialize into who they thought they were.
The Bears are who we thought they were.
How many weeks in November and December did we say, just be normal?
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to lose a game because you were outplayed and you didn't do something crazy at the end. You know, just be normal. And it was not normal.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
We'll mention this mainly because Chicago Tribune writer Dan Wiederer said we would mention this nugget.
We'll go first to Dan Wiederer. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan Wiederer.
Get your track shoes on.
On 670 The Score.
The Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody rolls on, and we are happy to go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. That is where we find our friend Dan Wiederer. I am so flattered right now, Marshall, because you know what we're witnessing in real time? Do you know what we're experiencing?
Is it the Take the North podcast on our show?
Woo!
A show within a show, if you will.
Grody even wore the shirt, Dan. He even wore the shirt.
Is this because you knew Dan was coming on?
No, I just, you know, like the shirt, spread the word.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm proud. I'm wearing it with pride, Weedsy. What's up, buddy?
Weedsy.
Grody spreads the word very often. Excuse me, I'm coughing, so he's going to have to spread
he's
more beclemmed. Words than that. But,
and yeah. You can see Dan on Twitch, by the way, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. I love that the Take the North guys are both here at the same time. Makes me happy.
Cool. It's a fun time. Congrats to you guys on the big news today. And obviously, a lot to get at after a busy weekend and now some big score news on Monday morning.
By the way, we will be doing, just so everybody knows, on Take the North, Dan and I did what we called a pre-draft bonanza show, a draft bonanza episode, which was, how long did we go, Dan? Like an hour or something like that?
Almost 90 minutes, Grody.
Yeah, we had 25 pressing topics. We will do today, after this show, he and I will be recording our post-draft bonanza show, Marshall.
I used to eat at the Bonanza when I was a child, so I get it.
I love a
buffet. This is Bonanza 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh! Did you hear about Bears 2 when we had that cooked up for a minute? It was like when the Bengals, before they got their stadium funding, Mike Florio thought that they might combine stadium funding or efforts or something with the Bears, and then we came up with Bears 2.
That would have been fun. That would have been fun to have two teams to cover it at once.
I think we're still workshopping Bears 2, but it's basically the anti-Bears. Like, that's what we decided.
I think Bears 2 would have drafted a running back, don't you, Dan?
Bears 2 would have taken an offensive lineman no matter
what. Oh,
my
goodness.
Let's just start with the obvious. Your overall thoughts on this draft. We gave grades earlier. What's yours?
Yeah, I'm not big into letter grades 2 days after the draft, but I will say I left Hallis Hall Saturday night with just kind of a shrug. You know, it just Saturday in particular felt like a night or a day where a long, long day where none of the picks really gave you much of an adrenaline rush. It was just kind of some things that they did. And now you're going to have to see if you can develop those guys into contributors for your football team. My sense is that Thursday night they would have loved it had one of the offensive tackles fallen into their laps, in particular Will Campbell, which was probably a long shot, and then Calvin Banks, who went one pick before them. But they feel like they've got a weapon in Loveland that is really dynamic and is going to be fun to pair with both Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And then we can have that discussion about what that was in round two, whether their best case scenarios with the running back options got away from them and how they're going to manage now with another receiver added to a group of weapons that's going to challenge Ben Johnson in some different ways.
Let's talk about the running backs. Let's get right to it. They end up with the 21st drafted running back in the NFL draft. 21. I know it was a deep running back class, Dan, but as I've been trying to wrap my head around it, it wasn't that deep. What do you think happened there? Do you have a working theory?
Yeah, I do. And I asked Ryan Poles about this late Saturday night in saying that, look, it just felt like all weekend that running back board danced away from you. And is that just something that creates some human nature frustration? And he just sort of acknowledged that that's just part of being in a draft and that it's going to be like that sometimes where the pockets don't line up. I think the Bears would have loved to make a huge splash on Thursday and made a trade to go get Ashton Jeanthey. But when they had those conversations and considered the cost, it didn't feel worth it to them to blow out their top three draft picks to take one guy. You would have had to trade 10 and probably your 2 second round guys to go up there, or 2 second round picks to go up there above Vegas to get him. And then on day two, I think there was serious interest in Travion Henderson, to the point that I think they were making phone calls and trying to get that lined up, and they just weren't able to get a deal done. And then he goes one pick before them to the New England Patriots. And so then you go into day three thinking like, okay, you're still picking at the top of round four. Certainly they're going to get one here. And then two backs come off the board before they're on the clock, and they, you know, in turn trade back really quickly, which leads you to believe that there was some interest in those two guys, particular Cam Scatabo at the top of day three. And so it's just one of those drafts where I think it got away from them. And Marshall, to your point, like when you have grand imaginations for the position and then you're drafting RB21 or RB22, whatever it turned out to be, I think there is a sense of deflation with that.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Kyle Manunk, it's a seventh round pick, so that's always a wild card, even in making a football team. But I guess, I don't know if this is good or bad for Roschon Johnson at this point, that they bring in another guy who seems to be similar in traits to somebody like Roschon Johnson, or could pull off the kind of stuff that he would. So do you think that this is a savior for somebody like Roschon Johnson, that the Bears did not get one of those guys that you just mentioned?
Grody, I would wait until the end of May to make that decision, because I wouldn't be surprised if they did some street free agent shopping with some of the veteran options that are out there to potentially add to that room and add some competition. Look, like I think there's a sense inside that building that Roschon Johnson's got more in him than he's been able to show the last few years, in particular last year, where he kind of got a role that maybe didn't, you know, showcase everything that he has to offer. And so, you know, this, it looked like Ben Johnson hasn't had a full practice with his football team yet. And so there's a lot for this new coaching staff to get their eyes on, evaluate, and then pivot in directions that they want to go. And so I think some things on that roster are going to be fluid over the next 6 weeks or so as they try to get themselves aligned properly for training camp.
From the butcher to street meat, that's where they went with the running back position.
Marshall the Wordsmith, his headline writing at your service.
We could use them. Yeah, we need more headline writers at the Tribune, so just keep sending them in.
You know, it's a real art form, in my opinion. I do want to also ask about this, Dan. They had the Bears. We do know about some of the top 30 visits, for example, that they had. I can't believe we're getting this far into the minutiae, which is really considering, you know, Roschon's a fourth round pick, for example. We're talking about Kyle Monongo. He matters. He matters to us. But even SMU running back Breshard Smith reportedly brought him for a top 30. I think he talked about it on Kay Adams' show. You know, clearly somebody the Bears at least had on their radar to some extent. You know, I'm wondering to what level did some of these people fall off their board before they were able to get to them? Was he considered possibly one of those guys?
You know, it's hard to say what they gleaned from each of those 30 visits. 30 visits can be used for a lot of different things. And so until you have full intel from the organization itself on what they were looking to get out of it and what they did get out of it, it's hard to speculate. I just, you know, I know that last week started with a grand imagination inside the building on what they could do in what was widely advertised to be one of the deepest classes of running backs in years. And they didn't get done what the best case scenarios were. And sometimes that's draft weekend, and you've got to pivot in new directions. The key in pivoting into new directions is making sure that the guys that you end up taking at other positions become difference makers for you, contributors for you, that they fit the vision of what you have for them. And so now they've got to do that. And you look, like these day three picks, you've got a really fast linebacker. Okay, well, let's see if he can earn a starting role going into the season, or at least a base defense role when you have three linebackers on the field. Okay, you've got a developmental corner out of UTSA. Okay, what is that going to look like? And what is Zach Frazier's profile look like 3 years from now? You know, you've got to make some of these guys become impactful to your team. And if you don't, then the draft ends up being like so many Bears drafts of the past, where you look back on it and you go, man, a lot of misses and not enough hits.
Yeah, I think that's one of the issues that we're faced with when we try to evaluate. As you said, you don't like to give the letter grade. The letter I prefer to go with is I, because it is incomplete, no matter what we say. Yeah. I said C+, but like it is what it is. I'm looking at this overall, and we've kind of gone back and forth with, okay, is this a Ben Johnson draft? I've likened it after doing my thorough, you know, review, and said it feels like a Ryan Poles draft that was gifted for Ben Johnson. I'm not calling it necessarily a Ben Johnson draft, but I feel like my biggest issue going with this right now is who's getting to the quarterback on this team? Who's getting to the quarterback? Dan, you tell me, who's getting to the quarterback? Because that's the question I've been asking since I moved to Chicago.
You're taking a leap of faith in Dayo Odengbo, who you paid a lot of money to be a quarterback disruptor. You're taking a leap of faith that your defensive coaching staff and Dennis Allen at the top can find a role for Austin Booker and develop him into what the Bears believed he could be when they drafted him a year ago. And obviously you need Montez Sweat to play like one of the most highly paid edge rushers in the National Football League. And then at the same time, we've heard for a while now about their desire to create pressure from the interior. And so Grady Jarrett's going to have to be part of that mix. You know, you're going to have another step up from Jervon Dexter, who I think is probably the other defensive tackle starter in this particular system. And so, look, it's going to be by committee, and it's going to require all of the players that I just mentioned meeting expectations. And that's a big part of this, is you can't fall short of expectations. Otherwise, you fall short of expectations. And we're sitting here talking about a 10, 11, 12 loss football team because they didn't get what they wanted out of positions of need and players that they brought in to give them what they wanted.
And then one guy I don't think you mentioned there, Dan, is a guy that we got to meet who, in terms of personality, definitely an interesting character. Shamar Turner, the defensive lineman out of Texas A&M. I don't know if it would be fair to say that you could just throw this guy into the rotation, because he did move from, you know, a defensive end spot, put on some weight, and now he's a tackle. But dude is ready, that's for sure.
His tape is fun.
His tape is fun, and his personality, yes, is more fun. I think for a late April review, like, Grody, you would speak to this, that I think the energy that he had both on the Friday night Zoom call and then the in-person interview on Saturday was off the charts. And you were like, oh man, like, you like to have, as reporters, you like to have guys like this inside the locker room, because you know, on a dead Thursday, you can go in there, strike up a conversation, and you're going to leave probably laughing, a little more energized. Shamar Turner seems ready to roll. Now they've just got to figure out what that role looks like. Like I say, I think he'll be playing behind Grady Jarrett and Jervon Dexter, and they've got to figure out how he fits in Dennis Allen's defense, with this being a defense that wants to attack and wants to go forward. And so we'll see what that looks like. But certainly from a personality standpoint, from an energy standpoint, how many times over the weekend did we hear the word violent applied to Shamar Turner?
Right. He's got to tone some of that down, just a little bit of it. He needs to tone down. Hilarious little moment, Layla, with Shamar Turner. When the guys get up to the lectern or the podium or the desk or whatever you want to call it, there's always water lined up for these guys. They got the Deja Blue water, of course.
We love the Deja Blue.
Love the Deja Blue.
It's got a cute little bear on it. Bears.
So for the first time, at least, that I've been covering the Bears since 2018, and Dan can maybe say if he'd seen this prior to that, he looked at us after he did his thing, and this was borderline adorable. He goes, can I take the water? Can I take the water? We're like,
yes!
Like, it's just
everything is now yours, Shamar.
Yeah, and he just thought it was the greatest thing that he got to take the water.
Did you guys inform him about the free Dr. Pepper and Diet Dr. Pepper? Did anybody tell him about that part? I mean, he did play
A&M
now.
We've got RC and Squirt and Sunkist in that media room fridge.
That's right, we have Squirt.
Wait till Shamar Turner gets a look at that fridge and realizes he can snag one of those every time he comes to the
media. I just need one of you to inform him, especially about the Dr. Pepper. I think that really hits the point.
What about Mr. Pibb? That's Chuck Swirsky's drink, by the way.
Good on Chuck.
Did you know that? Like,
I'll
Chuck,
stick with the OG.
He ODs, not OG. He ODs on the Mr. Pibb. That's a problem.
Wow, that was very...
I like how we all just sat here in stunned silence.
How I went from OG to OD. I don't know why you guys didn't appreciate that.
The Bears add eight players to their team, and then the thing that shocks us all is that line about Chuck Swirsky.
Speaks to Chuck's celebrity.
He's hey, Dan, asking as a longtime caller and listener to the Take the North podcast, when are you guys getting the wristbands in? I was told there were wristbands for Take the North by one Mark Grote.
Is it like VIP?
Wait, I think Studs.
I was not told that.
No,
yet.
I wasn't either. So, that was Studs that was spreading those rumors. Adam Studzinski, who is
were on
this
the
is breaking news to me.
Speaking.
I said that?
You said something about Take the North wristbands.
Oh, no. What did I say?
You're being sarcastic, and I'm holding
Grody
you to
wears
it.
One of those quarterback wristbands on his wrist for every show so he can keep track of the itinerary.
Lift the flap up?
That may be what he's talking about. Yeah, he lifts the flap up.
Velcro?
Yeah, we're going to talk running back now.
To be fair, Dan, I also need that in my life. Just saying.
You're right, Layla.
We all need a version of that.
Yeah, I did say that.
I need
that.
To check the sideline. I need somebody to hold up a card with four different things on it. Yeah, all of those things.
I did say, yeah, they would take the North bracelets. You're right. But I thought there actually were some, to be honest with you, like the rubber ones.
You know, maybe as my first official order of business since I've been here 5 years, maybe that's what I need to do.
Make wristbands?
I want to take the North wristbands.
Design them.
Make the demand. You got the power now. full time.
What about that last time I was a host full time, though?
You still had the, but you didn't come up with the idea to make the.
All right, so that's it, Dan. We'll get on that. I'll let you. I kind of
like this idea. This could be a good marketing gimmick.
Hey, Dan, did you by any chance hear us talking about the great 2019 training camp of kickers?
The college.
I did
of
not.
Kickers?
Well, listen. It was like the spring where the kicker thing was at its peak, and then by the time we got to camp, they had narrowed it down, and they were a little more streamlined. But yeah, we remember. Those of us who attended that remember like leaving OTA practices to go to a separate field to watch guys that we never heard of try to kick the ball through the uprights.
It was hilarious. Dan, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You guys describing always. It was great. I need an oral history at some point of that as well. That's my second request of official order
right.
of business.
Thanks
filing
so much,
these
Dan.
Requests
we appreciate
and I'll do
you,
my
man.
Homework.
Dan
All right, guys,
Weirer.
Congrats and enjoy the week.
Thanks. Thank
appreciate
you, Dan. You. We will read your work in the Chicago Tribune. We will listen to you on the Take the North podcast.